All right, I feel like Ashley Simpson on Saturday Night Live because the music just stopped, but now I'm live. So it's me, Nick Z, one of your hosts here on the On Deck Circle. Sorry, I'm all messed up now without the funk coursing through my veins. I just need Jason in here to, I just want to know if he could hear the music. Jason, come on in, buddy. Could you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
I didn't hear any music at all.
Oh, man.
So literally was like Ashley Simpson. Do you, or was that just like a reference that people that, no, I feel like that's a pretty cultural reference.
Are we talking about like when she lip sung on SNL?
SNL, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get the reference.
Family joke about it once.
You a family I don't know if I saw that. I am, but I, yeah. You know, not, you know, up on all the, on all the episodes. I don't know if I've seen that one or not.
That's fine. I lived in Rhode Island for a brief period of my life, and my girlfriend did not know that Family Guy was based in Rhode Island.
Yeah, Quahog or whatever it's. Ooh, I don't know how. Yeah,
which is not a real place. In case you're
okay, wondering. I always did wonder that. Kind of like how the Simpsons use Springfield, just because there's like a Springfield. Yeah, Springfield in every state.
Yeah,
is same is that with. I think there's a lot of. I know there's Springfield, Illinois, and there's a lot of Springfield. If you Google it, I'm sure there's a ton. Yeah. And what was the town that they were always a nemesis with? Or like that one was a very common name too. It's not coming to me right now.
I'm not. I love The Simpsons when I was a kid, but I haven't really.
So I actually watched. I actually just watched an episode on Sunday night, and it was a brand new episode. And I was actually shocked to see still brand new episodes of Simpsons.
One of my college professors, we had to write a paper about our favorite episode of The Simpsons, and I like. Was like, I don't really like have, it's like a cool show, but like, I'd rather Family Guy. That might be a bad take.
I don't know. I mean, Family Guy is pretty cultural appropriate and it's newer, you know, like, I feel like it's more adult themed, I guess you could say. Yeah. More PG-13.
Yeah. I'm just, my head is just too much in the gutter. Do we think Dave watches any of this?
No.
He's
Simpsons probably because the Simpsons have been around for like 40 years. So
he's like, I'm like a King of the Hill guy.
Yeah. Hey, I like King of the Hill.
All right. Well, I'm not going to ask you a question because we talked enough. So Dave, come on in, my guy.
Well,
King of the Hill, right?
I mean, I've seen King of the Hill, but I mean, I don't, I wouldn't say I watch King of the Hill.
Okay. Do you watch Family Guy?
Simpsons.
Yeah, I love Family Guy and I love Simpsons. Yeah, I haven't watched new of either in a while. I used to DVR on both, and I haven't watched a new episode of Simpsons intentionally probably in a decade. Family Guy. I don't know. I guess I just stopped watching it, but I'll watch reruns of Family Guy, and I just got so much more going on probably now than I did back at that point in time. So same. Family Guy. Family Guy is, you know, right up there with like South Park for me for like, you know.
I think it's better than South Park.
But no, nothing's better than South Park. South Park legitimately to me is the most well-written show that just that there is. They're so clever and so funny. I mean, I get that you have to have the, you know, the right sense of humor to appreciate it. I feel like,
similar, though.
I almost feel like with a show like South Park, either you just love and appreciate how well it's done, or you think it's just the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know if there's a ton of middle ground on something like that, you know.
I just like how they, you know, use current events and make fun of everybody.
Yeah, they make their make episodes so quick. They can spit out episodes that are very relevant, at least at that moment. I mean, a replay might not do it justice, you know, 20 years from now, where you're like, oh, wait a minute, what? Because it may it. Because it may be, it may not. Well, you know, certain things may not age well, you know, or they may not actually have much of a place in history.
Something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that, you know, like where it's not, you know, people even today may not even know who that is anymore. But at the time, but at the time, you know, like that was like, you know, this, you know, huge story, you know. And if you're not into sports, you probably don't know who that is nowadays, you know. All right. Well,
I guess we should get to baseball instead of. I don't know. I kind of like talking TV.
Well, let's do our perfect draft then. It's still not baseball related.
Nope.
We are going to, I don't know, I think it was me that decided or came up with the suggestion, because I didn't want to do something Christmas related exactly. I had a couple ideas, but I wanted to get a little closer to Christmas. Mm-hmm. And since we're in the middle of what to me is like, this is literally like what I think of as like the holiday season. Like once you get to like Thanksgiving, you just are like holiday, you know? So I thought that we would go ahead and do a draft with our favorite holidays. I'm thinking we just go three rounds. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Three rounds?
Yep.
Dave, so Jason, me.
Jason. Well, you guys can fight out second.
It's all you, Jason.
Okay.
It's all Jason. So for me, my favorite holiday, for sure, by far, no question about it, is 4th of July.
Good one.
That was my one too. Yeah,
always a fan of 4th of July. I mean, for me growing up, it was, and I guess I just thought that this was everywhere. So when I moved and this wasn't a thing, I was like, wait a minute, what? Like, I just thought that's what people did. Is the carnival was always in town during the 4th of July weekend. So I just kind of assumed that that was normal. That's what people did. So I love going on rides and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I love the fireworks and, you know. So for me, just the whole combination of that's the weekend I get to go to the carnival. That's when we can have fireworks. And obviously, you know, I served, you know, in the Marine Corps. So, you know, the patriotism. So for me, just for just too many reasons, 4th of July is my holiday. And that's why I said I have to go first. Because I couldn't let either one of you take that. So
I would have taken it.
Number one forever.
So, yeah. So I took 4th of July. Oh, man. I mean, we could go on and on about reasons why, but those are the core reasons for me.
I'm two?
Yes, yeah.
Sir. All right. Well, 4th of July is gone. Then I'm going to follow that up with Christmas. I feel like it's a good, you know, to me, Christmas is not just one day. It's almost the whole month of December. So I feel like you're getting a month worth of holiday into, you know, taking one day. So that's going to be my, one is Christmas.
Okay.
Well, this sucks.
The two best holidays in the calendar, right?
My second pick is still out there. Just
I'm going with Thanksgiving.
Know. Yep, that's
good. It's food, it's football, family. It's really probably the three things I really like the most. Yep. So we're gonna go with that, and then coming back, Memorial Day. I love me
Memorial
Day weekend. It's usually. Yep. My birthday, so that's also a nice long weekend. My girlfriend is saying that was a bad pick.
No, that was my next pick.
That was my next pick. So, so far we're all there, man. We're all there.
You kick off summer, you get the barbecues flowing, you're getting in the nice weather. It's a great holiday.
Yeah, for sure.
She's citing that it's not a happy holiday.
Well, that's true, but.
But a holiday doesn't have to be happy. I mean,
I'm pretty sure that's in the definition.
No, it's favorite. It's favorite holiday.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, like, hey,
thank you to our service people.
Yeah, I appreciate, Memorial Day is one of my favorite because, you know, allows people a chance to, you know, reflect on, you know, people that made, you know, the ultimate sacrifice. And yeah, so no, it doesn't have to be happy. It's favorite holiday.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Jason, you're up.
All right, my second pick, since all my good ones are getting taken up here, I'm going to go in and grab Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, we just had it. It's one of the funny, my favorite things. Again, you get almost like a whole month worth of celebrating. You know, you got scary movies, pumpkin patches, carving pumpkins, just a whole bunch of fun things to do in the month of October. So, again, another month-long type holiday.
Yep. I got you. So my next one then, I'm going to actually go, I think a lot of people prefer New Year's Eve is, you know, I don't even know if that's technically a holiday. I guess it is. But for me, it's not New Year's Eve because I've never been into drinking or anything like that. I don't party and, you know, I'm lame. So for me, I prefer New Year's Day. New Year's Day for a couple reasons. So similar to Thanksgiving, there's football and there's, you know, lots of football. But more than that, you know, a lot of people look at, you know, it's the beginning of a new year. You know, I'm going to have my, you know, my New Year's Day resolution. And, you know, those usually last for a couple weeks. And for like, seriously, the busiest time at the gym, like no shit, is like the first half of January. Man, if you go to the gym on like January 3rd, fucking everybody is there. Like you go to the gym like June 1st, fucking no one's there.
Yep.
So, you know, the gym really picks up early on in the year because everyone's, you know, made this resolution and good for them. And, you know, it teeters off. The last one, I mean, I guess I should have came a little more prepared with more because I thought we'd all pick a lot of the same ones. I guess I'm going to stay on brand here and I'm just going to go Veterans Day. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people kind of combine Veterans Day and Memorial Day to me and kind of, you know, think of them similarly. And they're not, you know, obviously, you know, Veterans Day is, you know, obviously just meant to, you know, appreciate, you know, veterans and, you know, their sacrifices and stuff. And this is actually this year, just because I was crazy busy, this was actually the first year probably in, I don't know, at least 5 years, maybe like 10. That I didn't like go out and get one of those, you know, free Veterans Day meals or something from, you know, like Applebee's or Chili's or, you know, something like that. I mean, there was even 1 year, and I don't think it's crazy. And I didn't like, I don't think this is going overboard, but I went to like McDonald's or something to get, you know, some free breakfast thing. And then I went to like TGA Fridays or something for lunch and got something. And then I went to like, you know, Olive Garden or something for dinner to get, you know, so I kind of took advantage of, you know, hitting, you know, multiple places for
most like a bar crawl, but like,
yeah, but like, yeah, like a, yeah, exactly.
Thank
yeah,
you for your like
service. Yeah, exactly. So, so yeah, I mean, I guess I'll go with that. That's on brand, and all the ones that I really had in mind were gone. So, yeah. Not to poo poo on Veterans Day, but, yeah, that's
a solid, solid third pick. And like you, Dave, I, went back and forth on, do I want to pick New Year's Eve or New Year's Day? I ultimately decided New Year's Day, but you just took that from me. So I'm going to go ahead and follow up. And what better holiday than Father's Day?
Oh, ooh. Yeah. See, yeah, that's, of course, a good
me
one.
Me being, may or may not know many people, but I am a father of two boys. So what better day than Father's Day to be spoiled and be celebrated, I guess. So, yeah, that's a good one to wait. End it for me. It's going to be Father's Day.
Yep, that's yeah, that was one that was on my radar. I was, because the reason I didn't pick either one of those really, or the reason I didn't pick that is because I was debating on Father's Day or Mother's Day, and I'm like, oh, I think I'm just gonna avoid both of them.
They're a bit of a Hallmarky type holiday, but hey, I'll take it.
Yeah, I couldn't decide on the two, and I was like, I don't want to be like selfish, but Father's Day means more to me personally, but Mother's Day, you know, eh. But yeah, I steered clear.
All right, the board's pretty thin.
Yeah, what do you got, Nick?
I'm going with Hanukkah.
I knew you were going.
There we go.
No, that's good. I knew that at some point you were taking it there. Yep.
Yeah, I had to. I just celebrated my fifth Hanukkah this past weekend. It was a great time. I got some nice gifts, spent some time with some lovely family.
Well, talk about some of these gifts.
Did you get a visit from Hanukkah Harry, though?
No, but hold up.
Is he going to show us a gift he received?
No.
I hope it's not. I hope he doesn't bring out like a dick in a box.
So, in the Jewish culture, they call their grandparents Bubby.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And instead of elf on a shelf, they have a dancing Bubby.
Oh, nice.
Oh. After all that dancing,
and it just, it doesn't do a dance. My dog absolutely hates it.
Yeah, I bet.
Gonna attack it if you let it go. I think that's Nick's. Put that thing in silent.
Yeah, I'm trying. I don't know how to really
little switch on the bottom on the side of the phone.
No, it's from my laptop.
Oh, I gotcha.
Oh,
makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, Hanukkah.
All right. Yeah, that's a good way to wrap it up there.
And then since we're, you know, you know, 15 minutes into the show, I guess now would be a good time to discuss some baseball on a baseball program. So, I feel like in the off season, like have a little bit of fun. I mean, yeah, we can sit there and rattle home baseball all the time, but you know, let's talk about some fun stuff, and we'll sprinkle some baseball in, and once we get around the season and stuff, and you know, all that, then we can sprinkle in some nonsense and throw some baseball in there. So we decided that we were going to hit on, you know, some of the big free agent signings that happened. Obviously, we're in the middle of a lockout right now, and who knows when that will end. Ooh. So, you know, maybe we'll have a lot more nonsense to talk about. But, you know, there's a flurry of deals, obviously, you know, right before, you know, all of that happened. So we wanted to go ahead and highlight some that were most notable to us.
This is the way that free agency should be handled every offseason. Mm-hmm. There should be some sort of window that these players have to sign within, and we'll get this type of action every year instead of waiting and waiting and waiting. One player a week. Let's get some excitement around these offseason moves.
Yeah, man. So biggest one here, you know, Max Scherzer, 3 years, $130 million from the Mets. Not a team that I would have pegged as him going to. I guess, and we'll cover some more Mets news later on. Hopefully Stash is watching. I doubt it. I didn't expect them to make this kind of a move. And, you know, in reality, I think it makes all the sense in the world. Anytime that a pitcher signs in the National League, I think that's a win for their dynasty value. If I'm splitting hairs between players and, you know, it's a coin flip or at least close to it. If there's one guy in the NL and one guy in the AL, I honestly, that's my coin flip, you know, if possible. So, I don't think he really misses much of a beat. He's going back into, the NL East. So he's familiar with that. I think it makes all the sense in the world for all parties involved.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest shocker on this was like, you know, the Mets, Steve Cohen must have been like, you know, how can I get the best pitcher in the league to come sign with me? Oh, I know, I'll highly overpay this guy. Record-breaking 43 AAV, 43 million AAV, which...
Listen, man, you're worth what someone will pay you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that just is crazy. I mean, the highest before was Garrett Cole at 36 mil, so he's getting paid. So. Yeah. I mean, I think I'd rather have Scherzer than Garrett Cole, but still, I mean, that's like 7 mil a year you're talking. He deserves it. I mean, three-time Cy Young winner. He's obviously, you know, great 1-2 punch now with him and DeGrom there in New York. He's been the epitome of health, too. I mean, he's got, you know, dating back to his rookie year, he's averaging 30 starts a year. He's only had one season in which he didn't make 30 starts a year. That doesn't include 2020.
Yeah.
He's got a career 3 ERA. Averages 225 strikeouts a season, and even had a season with 300 strikeouts in 2018. I mean, he's 37 now, so I think at some point, you know, age will catch up to him, but I don't think it'll be in 2022. And he does have an opt-out after 2023. So, I mean, it's probably worth the 43 mil if you ask me. So, yeah. I mean, great signing by the Mets. And I think, you know, how can you argue? I mean, his value right now in Dynasty is probably high as it's ever going to get. Might come down a little bit just because he's 37, but... I mean, great, great deal.
Yeah, if you look at my rankings, you know, he's probably lower than you would expect if you're just thinking, you know, if you're, especially if you're someone that plays like a lot of redraft or, you know, isn't, you know, heavily into dynasty. Guys like, and I know that it's different because he's coming off a major injury, but, you know, Scherzer, Verlander, those two guys to me are the standouts where, assuming Verlander, you know, was fully healthy, they're going to be further down in the rankings than you expect, mm-hmm. even though, you know, they may be completely dominant at the moment. So even though Max Scherzer, you could easily say one of the top five pitchers in baseball for next season, doesn't make him a top five dynasty pitcher. Age plays a huge factor in that. Even though, you know, if I had to have a game pitched tomorrow in real life and you said, hey, you want Scherzer or do you want Julio Urias? Well, I want Max Scherzer all day, but in dynasty, if I have those two guys on the board and I have to decide between one of those two pitchers, I'm not taking Max because what do I, you know, mm-hmm. I get 2-3 years out of them. Yeah, I got a decade of Julio. So, and they're comparable enough, you know, I mean, Max is better, but Julio isn't you know, it isn't, you know, isn't, you know, in an entirely different, you know, atmosphere. So
did you see who took credit for this contract?
No,
I don't know.
Trevor Bauer.
Oh, like, I saw him on Twitter talking up again.
Yeah,
and
yeah, he was like,
this is all news to me. So like, please explain.
It was like something along the lines of like short deal, big money. And he was like, I wonder where he learned that from or some shit like that.
What a dumb. Oh, I mean, I don't.
I wish he would.
Yeah, that's just weird. Like, that's just, hey guys, remember me? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, get a headline when like he like, should not want a headline right now.
So like, he's the first person that ever thought, hey, short contract. No.
Right.
Like, what does LeBron James do? He signs, well, for a while, one year deal. So I wonder where Trevor Bauer got it from.
Yeah, exactly.
What a fucking douche.
I'm excited though. He can definitely handle that, market, which is great, especially because they're like the B team in that market. So he'll really thrive there. And I think him and DeGrom, that has to be two of the best like to ever happen, right?
Well,
I mean, it's hard to say, but
Tigers had Max and JV in their primes.
Yeah, but they didn't win anything.
They went to the World Series.
Neither are the fucking Mets. What if the Mets won?
But they will because of this. They're ready to roll.
No.
Well, but yeah, it's a great one. If DeGrom
is healthy, then yes, you could argue that you have two of the. You could even say you have the two best pitchers in the baseball. I mean, theoretically,
yep.
They would definitely both be in the conversation if healthy. To say, are they the best pitcher in baseball? Yeah, maybe.
It's like the two best in the last like decade.
Yeah, but DeGrom is going to get hurt, and you know, so we'll see.
Yeah,
DeGrom is always hurt. He's like Scherzer is the anti-DeGrom.
Yeah,
like, he's as good, but he just doesn't miss time. Next on our list, we had Corey Seager, who I did not expect to sign with the Rangers. Good for them for spending their money. But I did not see that coming. What are your thoughts on that signing, Nick?
This one was as soon as they signed Marcus Semien, I was like, okay, like this, like I get it. But then this one literally made no sense at all. I was like, what? I like thought I got like punked on like the tweet, like it was just like a fake Jeff Passan or a fake
Or Bob Nightingale is the one who let it rip.
It's good. I don't think he's this good. He's fine. I just don't see it.
So I don't know if you guys have. I made a joke in the 30 Rock chat. And I mean, I had made a joke about because we were talking about, you know, Trevor Story. And I said, well, the Rangers should you know, sign him. And obviously that doesn't make sense because they just signed, you know, a second baseman and a shortstop. And I said, they can go to a full-time shift. They can basically just have three shortstops and they can play a full-time shift. And I said it, you know, and I meant it as a complete joke. And I thought to myself, you know what? I could see some team actually legitimately saying, you know what? We're going to play a full-time or basically a full-time shift. We're just going to have three shortstops. When we have to, we'll play one at third base. And you're going to have to beat us. Like, you're going to have to beat us by hitting it over our head or something because you're not going to, you know, you're not getting through this infield, you know. And then if anyone ever gets hurt, you still have two stud. I mean, I'm not necessarily suggesting that it's a legitimate, realistic option. But if some team actually went out and were like, hey, I want three good shortstops, that's not the crazy. It's more of like a MLB The Show kind of a move. But if somebody did that realistically, that's a ton of money, but that could actually work.
It's just positionless baseball. It's like how the NBA.
Kind of. Exactly. It could. You could. It's, I mean, and if you had a team that legitimately says, "Hey, we want to shift 70% of the time, anyways."
Just give me athletes.
You have three shortstops in the middle of the, you know, in the for your infield. Like, I mean, I don't know. It was a joke that I made that I was like, you know what? That's actually semi smart.
A good idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, Corey Seager, I don't know. I think I've always been low on him, and I don't know why. I don't dislike him. I guess it could be the fact that he plays on the West Coast, and so he's in the NL, so as a Tigers fan, I don't really see him all that often. That's honestly probably a lot of what it is if he came up with the Tigers, I might think, you know, oh, he's so underrated.
Yeah.
But I think I've always kind of been low man on him, and I think it really is a me problem.
No, I don't think so, because I'm super low on Corey too. I mean, everyone wants to talk about him.
You live like a couple hours away from me, and we both, I mean, we're
similar. Even so, I mean, if you look at just the stats alone, I mean, he doesn't hit a lot of home runs. Even his, counting stats aren't even that great, and that's on being part of one of the top offenses in the league. Mm-hmm. And other than 2021, when he slashed .306, .394, and a slugging .521, even those numbers, I think he only hit 18 home runs, and he had I don't think he's ever had more than 100 RBIs in a season. What's and he's getting paid.
Runs saved, what kind of I don't feel like I know enough about it. I know that he's an adequate offensive player.
Is he worth $33 million a year?
Yeah, he's probably got more of a ceiling than actual production. But
yeah,
one thing that I'm learning more about, because it's not dynasty relevant necessarily. I mean, as long as a guy can stay in the field, that's all the defense we need them to play. We just don't want a guy to get platooned or something, Yeah. So I don't know what kind of a defender he really is. I mean, because it doesn't matter to my rationale. So with that being said, do you know what his defensive
run is? I don't. But I feel like he's always been known as an offensive shortstop.
Yeah, me too.
And I just don't see those numbers. I mean.
Yeah. So another Mets signing, Starling Marte, a guy that I think is probably a little underrated. I know that he's not, a MVP caliber player, but, solid defender. Which again, a real life thing, but when it comes to dynasty kind of stuff, stolen bases and speed, those kind of things dissipate very quickly. If you don't have it, it's very hard to acquire. And so Marte, even though he's not going to win you a roto league or win you a head to head on stolen bases, if you have a couple of hims, that's how you are good there. And he's good enough all around, that I think he's borderline an underrated player, but, not a guy that I'm going to stand on a hill and argue for, But, I mean, that's a great signing for the Mets. I don't think $19 million a year, I don't think that that's asking too much. I think that's the cheapest of the whole group we have on here. And I mean, that's in real life-wise, he's one of the more well-rounded players that was available.
Yeah, I mean, as a 33-year-old last year, he led the league in stolen base with 47. He's had multiple 2020 seasons, so he's not just speed. He brings a bit some power.
Yeah.
He does, he gets on base quite a bit, gets good, hit two. I had to look up his career average, but I don't think it's anything lower than maybe .280. He averages 18 home for his career. He averages 18 home runs, 36 stolen bases, and 58 extra base hits.
Yeah.
I think he even gets a little bit of a bump going to New York. He goes into the top of that Mets lineup. They got guys with multiple 25 home run hitters. So he'll get to set the table for, Pete Alonso and, the likes of that. So, I mean, I think he gets a bump even. And, yeah, I mean, like you said, he's, solid defender in center field. And, even if he moves over to left or right field, I think he could still put up 2020 seasons for the next couple of seasons. So.
Yeah,
I think it was a great signing
to left field at some point.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
we'll see. But
he's awesome.
Yeah, getting out of Pittsburgh was huge, and then going from Pittsburgh to then Miami. I mean, getting out of those two teams has been obviously just showed in his production going to Oakland in a playoff race. I think I don't know all those 47 stolen bases. I think he had 30 of them with Oakland. I have to check those numbers, but yeah, it was high.
There was a stretch where he stole
almost every day.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Was it Pittsburgh, Miami, or Pittsburgh, Arizona?
Oh, I think you're right. I think he did go to Arizona on the trade deadline and then signed with
Miami.
The Marlins.
Okay.
I believe. Or trade. It was one of those.
Partey at one point in Arizona. But he's
right. He did get.
I anticipated the stolen bases to start falling off, and they just haven't yet. But, they have to soon, right?
Well, 33, I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't know. I've never really studied to see at what age the stolen bases go away.
Than years old this year.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue, though, that the natural progression is as guys start to steal less, they start to produce more power. And to be quite fair, I guess that's not the reason that you would be, you know, looking to own a Starlin Marte. You're not looking, you're looking for him because he's providing you with steals more than like that's the reason that you have him. So if all of a sudden he starts to add, you know, 5 to 8 home runs a year, but he cuts the stolen bases in half, you're probably going to be pretty disappointed because that's probably not why you have him. The next one here, I'm going to let you guys go first, and then I'll chime in dead last. And I'm going to, I'm going to keep a dynasty relevant, but, Javier Baez to my Tigers.
You know, I doing the show notes for this, this episode, I was like, you know, I know some of your thoughts on Baez, and I kind of have some of the similar thoughts, and well, I just decided, I decided to include him just because I feel like it's a pretty significant signing both for baseball and, you know, fantasy baseball. So I included him just to, you know, talk about him, but, you know, we can all sit here and say what we want about Baez, but, you know, he does fit one of the Tigers' most biggest holes in shortstop for defensive purposes.
Does he, though?
I mean, other than what's Correa, who would you have fit for defensively? Not even offensively, just defensive for the Tigers.
Andrelton Simmons.
Was he a free agent? Is he even available?
I think so. I mean, he's obviously an elite defender, but
right.
I mean, listen. I don't want to get too much into non-dynasty related stuff, but
right.
Obviously, this has been a huge talk in Detroit, and I haven't seen many metrics that suggest that Javier Baez. As a matter of fact, I take that back. I haven't seen any metrics that suggest that Javier Baez is currently an elite defender. Is he above average?
Yes.
A little bit. Yes. I will say that he is an above average defender, but even that is probably a bit of a compliment. He's definitely better than what we have. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't want to get, I want to try to keep it dynasty related. So Nick, go ahead with your thoughts on that signing.
I don't think it does anything to his value. I think he is who he is. He's fine. He's going to not get on base much. He's going to hit home runs sometimes. He's going to strike out sometimes.
He's going to strike out a lot of times.
But, like, I think we talked about on the last show about the Jonathan Scope stuff. He's better than Jonathan Scope. He's not, like.
They're awfully damn similar.
But he's better than. Maybe it's because of the slides.
Jonathan Scope is one of the most underrated fantasy players. Like, his numbers, if you look at them, really quite good. Significantly better than what you would think. I mean, when the Tigers originally signed him, I was like, oh wow, that's a great signing. Why are people so low on Scope? Like, I've always thought of him in high regard. Yeah. And when he's healthy, which has been quite often, but when he's healthy and on the field, seriously, if that dude was on like the Yankees or the Red Sox,
he would be
an all-star.
Yeah.
But because he's on the Tigers, who have sucked recently.
And the Orioles.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, because he's been on shitty teams, he's just an afterthought because nobody's watching him. The comparison between the two really isn't crazy. It's really not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, even just for fantasy purposes, I mean, everything aside, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not going to sit here. I've watched Baez play for the last 6 years. I'm not going to say he's some awesome, you know, stud that you can't, you know, don't need on your team. But I mean, we're talking about a guy in 2018 that hit 34 home runs, 101 runs, 112 RBIs, and 21 stolen bases, and batted .290. I mean, if that's something you don't want on your team, fine.
He's not batting .290. I fucking guarantee you that.
Well, you know, that's to be seen. I mean, he's not like he doesn't hit, but I don't think he will. I
guarantee you he will not hit .290.
He's had multiple seasons of hitting .280, .270, .290, .280.
I guarantee you he will not hit .280.
I mean, I'm not going to say that he is, but I don't think you can sit here and say that he can't. So, I mean, he's proven he can. So
he's not going to.
I'm not here to defend Javi Baez to the extent that you want to disprove him, but I don't think you should sit here and say he's a piece of shit and shouldn't be getting paid and
doesn't
hit in Detroit. I, as a Cub fan, have love and hate for Javier Baez. Trust me. There's nobody else I want up, you know, in a regular season with the bases loaded. I want Baez. You're talking about the NLCS, bases loaded, you need a grand slam? No, thank you. But for fantasy purposes, I'll take Baez.
So here's what's going to happen to Javier Baez in Detroit for dynasty purposes. His batting average is going to go down. His counting stats are going to go down. He's going to get more extra base hits, but they're not going to be home runs. It's a different ballpark. It's a little bit more neutral than people think. People think of it as a very pitcher-friendly ballpark, and it's not really. It's more neutral. It depends on the type of hitter you are. It's a terrible ballpark for a guy like Javier Baez who sells out for power, because you really have to get a hold of one to get it out of Comerica. So he's going to have more doubles. He'll probably sneak in a couple triples. I think you're going to see his stolen bases are going to increase. Detroit, especially now with A.J. Hinch, they like to run. If he can somehow manage to get on base, I think you're going to see his stolen bases go up. The main problem is he is exactly the kind of player that the Tigers already have as their biggest weakness. So the Tigers' biggest weakness is they don't promote on base, getting on base at all. And so I think for Javier Baez to have probably in real life as well, probably more so in real life, but for dynasty purposes for us as well, he really needed to go to a team like the Yankees that would force him or really push him in the direction of getting on base more. Because that's exactly what the Tigers are now. Outside of Robbie Grossman, they don't get on base. And Javier Baez is another guy that's just not going to get on base. If he can get on base, like I said, you're going to see an increase in stolen bases because they will run him. But as far as all your counting stats and all this stuff goes, he's going to be hitting a lot of home runs and a lot of doubles, and that's probably about it. You're not going to see very many singles from him. So that's what concerns me about the stolen base aspect of it. And that's why I'm telling you he's not going to bat 280. He's just not. He's going to be like a 240 hitter. It's going to be rough.
240 is a
strike. 240, yeah, that's
okay. Right. If you guys want to keep notes, he's going to hit 240 this year. But he'd be just watch.
240?
Yeah. Watch. Write it down.
All right.
Write it down.
I will.
I'm not saying anything on that one, but
my phone.
All right, how about 245? Does that make you feel better? 245.
I
think it's at least 250. He's at least 250.
He's going to have an on-base under 300 as well.
That might be possible. I'm not saying he gets on base. I mean, the guy barely walks. He had like 20 walks all last year.
So we'll do one more. We done we'll do this one. We'll cheer Jason up, cuz I pissed Jason off by talking about Javier Baez. So yeah, we're going to give him Stroman. So, again, this is the guy I would have loved for the Tigers to sign. Even though they signed, Eduardo Rodriguez, I really thought they were in the market for JV, which obviously they didn't get him. And when Stroman was sitting around, I was like, well, that's a perfect fit for them. But he went to the Cubs. So I think Jason needs to get the first crack.
I love the signing. I just, it's kind of hard to say what the Cubs are doing because there wasn't a lot of time with the whole lockout thing going on. This is a great signing, I think, even if it's, one of things to come, because I think the Cubs need to spend money. I mean, it's no secret. They literally have nobody on their payroll, especially for 2023. I think they have like $8 million committed after 2022. They need to make signings. This was a good one, I think. As far as pitching goes, I feel like $24 million a year for a guy that's shown that he can, he pitched in Toronto, which was, a pitcher's nightmare for a while there in the AL East. So I think, going from the AL to the NL, and he was in the Mets, proved that he can, obviously pitch. It's a little bit easier to pitch in the NL, so that's going to be huge. And then I think the NL Central might even be worse than the NL East. So I think that's going to help him out. So I think it was a great signing for the Cubs. Mm-hmm. I think he would probably slide in as their number one at the moment. I think the experiment of having Hendricks as your ace, your ace, you want your guy to go out there and stop a losing streak. And I think he's kind of proven that he's not that guy. He's more of a complimentary piece. So I think the Stroman signing by the Cubs was a good deal. And I hope it's a sign of things to come of more signings if the lockout ever gets resolved, which, it will, let's be honest.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, there's money to be spent in Chicago. And if they don't, I think the Rickets might have a problem with some fans showing up this season. So they better start working out that money. But I think overall, I mean, it was a good signing, good deal, you know, good value for the Cubs. I love it.
Yeah, I really wanted Stroman with the Red Sox, so I'm kind of pissed about it. But if anybody could have him, I'm glad it's you and not Dave, Jason.
Oh, man. Okay.
He already took Eduardo from me, so I got to I'm excited. I'm probably going to get it. I asked for a Marcus Stroman player tee for my sister.
Nice.
So maybe she'll get me one. Hopefully.
A little jersey?
Chicago, because she's there, so you might as well buy it there instead of, like, Fanatics or some shit. But love Stroman. I love just he has – there's no doubt in my mind that he has a list like you see in Billy Madison. Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Crossing people off his list.
Boy, I call that guy.
Has a chip on his shoulder, and he pitches with it, and it's great. And he's so fun to watch. He's great for the game, and he's just the guy that you really root for. I didn't realize – obviously, this isn't old, but he's 30. I thought he was like 26. I'm glad he's older than me. But he's someone that I continue to try and root for, and I always try and get. I've yet to get Marcus Stroman in any league I've been in. I'm in four leagues.
And I feel like his value, for some reason, I don't know why, other than just like, you know, new face, new place, his value is going to go up. I mean, and I don't think it should.
He's just like,
right. I don't think it should unless there's more signings to be had by the Cubs, because I don't think there's going to get many wins to be had in Chicago unless some changes are made. But I think the value is going to go up. It's going to be hard to buy Stroman right now, I think, in Dynasty.
I'd say if you're going to buy him, you buy him now before they bring Chris.
Agreed. Agreed.
I mean, I guess, like I said earlier, any time a pitcher signs in the NL, that's good for their value. Where it's going to hurt him is it's going to hurt him in the wins category, because I mean, we've seen with DeGrom, you know, when he was dominant and the Mets sucked, it doesn't matter how good you are. If you hold the team to one run and your team doesn't score until the eighth inning and you throw seven, it doesn't do you any good. So it's going to hurt him in wins. If I'm going to care the least probably about any pitching category, it's probably wins, because it's so, it's so hard to predict. Yeah. So, you know, if I own Stroman anywhere, I'm happy he didn't go to like Detroit. You know, I'd rather he was in the NL. I'm happy he didn't go to Boston. I'd rather he wasn't in the AL East. But I don't think it moves the needle up any, because unless the, you know, Cubs were a powerhouse, I don't know. I think his value is pretty much where it was. It just luckily didn't take a hit. You know, that's how I would look at that. All right, I think that's where we'll can it. And maybe what we'll do next week is we'll kind of do the same thing. Either we'll get rid of the draft and we'll replace it with the Dynasty deep dive. And
that's a good idea.
More free agent signings, and maybe we'll keep it a little more baseball related.
Yeah, there was so many; it was hard to just pick a few. Yeah, you know? It's hard. There was a lot that first couple weeks. So
yeah, because there's a few that you had listed that we didn't get to that we have to talk about. So
yeah,
I think next week we get back into it, and maybe we keep it more baseball related with our Dynasty deep dive, which I think, if I remember correctly, and maybe I'll. Think the proper way to say it would be the Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
We had a team
pick. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we had a team pick. We just didn't we decided that it made a lot more sense to talk about the free agency signing. So we'll do more of that next week, and we'll do our Dynasty deep dive on the Cleveland Guardians. Appreciate everyone for tuning in tonight, or watching the replay, whichever. If you haven't done so already, in all seriousness, especially if you're on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe. That helps us out quite a bit. And if you go ahead and turn on your notifications, you get a 30-minute notification that pops up to let you know when we're going live. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever they call it these days, go ahead and drop a review for us. Five stars are most appreciated, but yeah. give us what you feel is most appropriate. If you want to throw some comments in along with it as well, that's cool. But either way, if you take, 30 seconds, 45 seconds.
It all helps grow the podcast. So,
yep. If you can just take that smidge of time for us, we would appreciate it. But thanks for tuning in, and we will look forward to talking at you next week.
Dope.
See ya.
Good boys. Thank you.